Welcome to New Life Church. We're glad that you are with us this morning to join us in worship. And if you're new, we are so glad that you are connecting with us. And we pray that taking this service in will be an absolute blessing to you. And if you want to connect more with us here at New Life, we invite you to do so on our website, newlifecrc.ca, and our social pages on Facebook and Instagram at New Life Abbey. Interact with those, communicate with us. We often ask questions. We'd love to hear responses back from you. And Pastor Nathan last week asked a question. He asked, how are we going to be more of a gospel influence in this time? And some of the great responses we have is being at home more has allowed us to invest more in our neighbors. That's the way it's supposed to be. Right on. Another one was to set a good example and witness to people in my spheres of influence, like with my friends and coworkers. Another said, hey, I want to invite my neighbor to youth this year, which is awesome. And then the last one is, I would love to learn Jesus loves you in Punjabi so I can share that with some of my friends. Well, we hope you're blessed as you worship God with us today, and let's join with him in worship now.
Built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. His oath is covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. Around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking.
This is my worship, this is my offering, and in every moment, and I withhold nothing. I'm learning to trust you, even when I can't see it. And even in suffering, I have to believe it. Cause if you say it's wrong, then I'll say no. If you say release, I'm letting go. If you're in it with me, I'll begin. When you say to jump, I'm down. Say be still, then I will wait. If you say to trust, I will obey. Cause I don't wanna fall in my own way. I'm done chasing feelings. Spirit, lead me.
Worship team for leading us in that time of worship. Welcome. My name is Sarah, and this is my husband Chris, and this is our daughter Vera. I've been attending New Life since I was a baby, and Chris started attending when we got married. Vera is 8 months old and has been trying to attend church her whole life. We want to wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving. However you may be celebrating this weekend, this is a great time to be thankful for all that God has done and provided in our lives. I want to share with you from Psalms 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. And now for today's announcements.
Nourish and Be Nourished is happening tomorrow on Thanksgiving Monday. This will be an intentional time of thanksgiving, communion, and giving to the food bank. You, your family, or your bubble are invited to walk through the auditorium anytime between 9 and 11. We will guide you through a prayerful time when you arrive. The food bank is in high need of rice, pasta sauce, peanut butter, and Kraft dinner. The offering today is for World Renew. World Renew is the agency we work with in organizing surf trips to Lori, Honduras. It is a relief and development agency operating in many areas of the world to reduce hunger and increase the quality of life for many. As you can see on your screen, we have many ways to give. If you'd like to learn more on how to give, you can check out the link below in the video description. Please join me in prayer. Lord, thank you for all that you have given us, and help us to remember that you are in control and always by our side. Bless the offering we are about to give. We want to pray for the work that World Renew does in Honduras, and that it would bring glory to you and bring people to know you. We want to pray for the church family, that we would stay united in this uncertain time and continue with the mission that we have been given. Bless the Nourish event tomorrow, that it would be a great time of communion and thanksgiving. Be with Pastor Nathan as he preaches today from your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, kids, Pastor Sam has put together a video and activity sheet for you. All these materials can be found in the video description below or on the website. Every month, New Life Kids Church starts a new series. This month, it's called the Fab Five. You'll get to learn about the five Old Testament prophets in true comic book style while discovering what it means to be faithful to the one and only God. If you want, you and your kids can get more out of this weekly videos. There are some reflection questions following the lesson that you as a family can dig deeper into each lesson. Now would be a good time to pause this video, set up your kids, grab a cup of coffee, and when we come back, we'll be joined by Pastor Nathan.
Well, happy Thanksgiving, everyone, and welcome to my cooking show. You know, Thanksgiving celebrations and Thanksgiving holiday and the Thanksgiving feast, in fact, can get so complicated. I mean, consider the fact that you probably have 12 more people around your table that you would normally have, and You've probably spent hours designing a delectable menu, color coordinated even, so that all of the food that people place on their plates will look good together. And then you invite everyone over, and they come over, and they all bring a dish along with you, and suddenly all of your planned elegance turns into an eclectic mess. Somebody brings roasted vegetables, probably, and they just ran out of time, and so they thought they would just broil them, and now it's just a black mess, and which perhaps isn't even that bad of a deal because it provides some good contrast to the white potatoes, the white turkey meat, and the white cauliflower that somebody brought. Who brought that anyways? See, Thanksgiving can get so complicated, and this year might be your opportunity to make things a little bit more simple. I mean, all you really need for a good Thanksgiving meal is, well, a turkey, a little time to roast that. You need some potatoes, of course. I recommend red skin potatoes. Leave the skin on, mash it, gives you a little bit extra color and just a kind of a nice added texture to your mashed potatoes. For great color, roast some vegetables. I would recommend maybe starting with some chopped peppers, different colors, and then add some broccoli to that. Cut up your butternut squash, and you'll have just a wonderful platter full of color of roasted vegetables. So you got your meat, you got your starch, you've got your vegetables. You wrap it all up with a beautiful, preferably artisan loaf of bread. This one specifically designed for this event by our own Sam Visser. And well, there you have a simple but elegant and wonderful Thanksgiving meal. You see, it doesn't have to be so complicated. Dinners this Thanksgiving can emphasize simplicity, and it could emphasize close relationships because, well, it's just more intimate. You have less people to invite and less places to be all at once. And so everything's just a little bit more simple, including your menu. Thanksgiving just doesn't have to be so complicated. We make it complex, probably because we have so much and we just so desperately want to experience everything within that three-day weekend. So, the more complicated it is, the more we tend to lose focus and perspective. That happens not only on Thanksgiving, but it also happens throughout our lives. The more we have, the more we tend to lose perspective. And so, this morning, I want to share with you a little bit of reflection on how to simplify our Thanksgiving. So let me step out of the kitchen, because you're not going to take me seriously with this silly hat on anyways. And let's look at the Bible's instruction for creating a Thanksgiving-shaped life. Not just a single event, but a life that is shaped by Thanksgiving. And to do that, we want to take a look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, near the end of Paul's letter, in fact, where Paul says this: "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." We'll take a look at that in a moment. All right, well, we're back. Now, so here's the thing. I doubt whether thankfulness is just a natural characteristic that comes to us with ease. I mean, sure, we can be thankful for something when we've received it, and perhaps even that comes automatically enough. And sure, we can be thankful on Thanksgiving weekend because, well, quite frankly, we're somewhat obligated to be thankful. But really, we're talking about a life of thanksgiving. And that way of life, a thanksgiving life, a life entirely shaped by thanksgiving, by thankfulness. That kind of life has four simple ingredients, like a good Thanksgiving meal. Simple, but not necessarily easy. Four simple ingredients: relationship, joy, prayer, and gratitude. Now, relationship, the first ingredient, is the foundational ingredient, something like having a turkey. That's the foundation of a Thanksgiving meal. And a life of Thanksgiving isn't just something that you tack on to the way you usually live your life. Thankfulness is a gift, in fact. A gift, a grace that moves in and out of our lives. And it only becomes prominent, it increases, it grows, becomes more constant as we grow up in Christ, in that relationship with Jesus. Because thankfulness has to do with a relationship more than it has to do with having received something. Paul is giving instructions at the end of the letter in broad strokes. The instructions are grand and sweeping in terms of, here's how I want you to live. And he begins in verse 12, first of all, talking about relationships that are on the outside of the community. Then he moves on to relationships with leaders in the Christian community, and then with fellow believers. Verse 12, now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And then he goes on, and we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive, encourage the disheartened, help the weak, be patient with everyone. So in verse 14, then he moves on to the weaker members, having relationship with weaker members of the community. And then he goes on to even suggest having good relationship with people who you might even consider enemies or people against you. And then in verse 15, in one broad sweep, consider your relationship with everybody. In other words, Paul is painting for the Christians a picture of harmony that covers every possible relationship, and that harmony is rooted in your relationship with Jesus Christ. A relationship born from His work of saving you from your sin. A relationship sustained and continues to grow by the Holy Spirit that is in you. Relationship is foundational to building a life of thanksgiving. Relationship is foundational, particularly your relationship with Jesus, and how that shapes all your other relationships is foundational to living a thanksgiving life. The second ingredient is joy. Paul then carries on from those relationships and says, rejoice always, verse 16. This is kind of like the ingredients of having potatoes at your Thanksgiving meal. I mean, it's just got to be there. Joy is that gift of the Spirit of God that is absolutely essential to being able to create a life of Thanksgiving. There's an old European story about a traveler who came upon a barn where the devil had stored seeds which he planned to sow in the hearts of people, and various bags were scattered around, some of them labeled hatred, some of them labeled fear, some of them labeled a bag of seeds of doubt or despair, for unforgiveness or pride or greed, all of these things. And the devil appeared and struck up a conversation with a fellow passerby, and he gleefully told the traveler how easily the seeds that he sowed sprouted in the hearts of men and women. Are there any hearts in which these seeds will not sprout? Asked the traveler. and a melancholy look appeared on the devil's face. "These seeds will not sprout," he said, "in the heart of a thankful and joyful person." All those negative traits and vices, greed and pride, hatred and fear and doubt, they simply don't grow in the context of joy. So cultivate joy. Include that in your ingredients of a life of thanksgiving, a feast, a Thanksgiving feast. The gift of joy. Once we can sing the melody of grace in our lives, joy goes deep down into our life and soul, and it directs our approach to the rest of life. When we can sing that melody of grace, of how God moves in and about our lives, because He's in control, not we ourselves. When we try to take control, then joy leaves our heart and soul, because then we have to manage everything, and that's just frustrating because it's impossible. Being joyful doesn't depend on our circumstances. Being joyful doesn't depend on the situation of our lives. I mean, these might not be our best times, the times that we live in currently. And yet our joy doesn't need to be less than before. The melody of grace can quicken us to soar on the wings of joy as we seek to live our lives, no matter what our circumstances are. You need joy in order to feast in thanksgiving. The third ingredient is prayer. Paul adds, rejoice always and pray continually, he says in verse 17. Prayer is that aspect of our lives that adds delight and variety. So, yeah, something in parallel with our Thanksgiving feast, with including roasted vegetables and all of the color that adds and all of the variety of taste that includes. That's what prayer does as we shape our lives around Thanksgiving. Because what Paul means in terms of praying continually, certainly not praying in every, giving thanks for every event and situation that occurs in our lives. Certainly we would find it difficult and perhaps even ridiculous to give thanks for losing a job or even losing a loved one. But a life deeply connected with God is a life that is steeped in prayer. To be constantly aware of God's presence in our life, that's what it means to live a life of continuous prayer. And the ways that you might do that is perhaps by a habit of prayer in the sense of, you know, folding your hands, closing your eyes, and praying. But it could also mean that every once in a while, you take the time, a moment even, to sit in silence and wait on God. That also is praying continually. I remember reading the suggestion that, you know, how you get frustrated when you hit, seems like you hit all the red lights. And a wise person once suggested that, why not, instead of viewing the red lights as an interruption to your hurried life, why not view it simply as God's opportunity to take just a quick Sabbath? And that's helped me to take these moments to wait on God, is to remind myself that when I hit a red light, and particularly when I'm in a hurry and I think I don't have time for it, that's God's reminder, hey, take a break. I've got this, God says. And to be aware of the presence of God, even in those moments, is what Paul is referring to in terms of praying continually. Even meditating on Scripture is something of praying continually. When we read the Bible, not just for information, but when we read the Bible to connect with God, to imagine God speaking with us, or perhaps to have a small phrase that you can pray over and over again in the midst of anxious times, something as simple as, Lord, have mercy on me, Lord, have mercy on me, Lord, have mercy on me, and repeating it helps you to focus then on gaining the perspective that you need in life and to surrender even those most anxious moments to God. Prayer is about learning to live constantly in the awareness that God is always with you. That's the third ingredient. And then a fourth ingredient that Paul includes in this life of thanksgiving is indeed gratitude, thankfulness. Give thanks, he says, in all circumstances, verse 18. It's kind of like the wraparound of the meal. It's kind of like adding bread to the meal. You don't need it, but it sure is lovely to be able to munch on a bit of bread in the midst of taking in the meat and the potatoes and the vegetables. It kind of blends it all together. And so also gratitude. The instruction that Paul gives to give thanks in all circumstances is perhaps difficult for us to imagine. And yet, gratitude is about seeing grace in every circumstance. Ultimately, it's about recognizing God's saving grace through Jesus Christ. To always be mindful that your salvation, that the wholeness of your life is all wrapped up in Christ's work on the cross. To be mindful of that and to let that influence every attitude, every perspective, every reaction, every word that comes out of your mouth, every activity that you're involved in. Gratitude is about seeing grace. Those two words are obviously connected. Gratitude is from the same root word as grace. And so even in small ways, learn to recognize God's grace, God's love, God's mercy in every aspect of your living. That's what it means to cultivate gratitude, recognizing God's grace in your life. So there you have it, the four ingredients to the feast of thanksgiving in all your living: the heartiness of Christ-centered relationships, the essential ingredient of joy, the variety of prayer, and the satisfying taste of gratitude. That's a recipe for a feast of thanksgiving for your entire life. When we think about thankfulness once a year, for instance, on this Thanksgiving weekend, we're probably just fulfilling an obligation, even if it's a good excuse to have a celebration. But when thankfulness is part of everyday life, with those ingredients of relationships rooted in Christ's relationship with us, rooted in joy, rooted in prayer, and rooted in gratitude, then we have a life that is surrounded and entirely shaped by thankfulness. How else can we be joyful always and pray continually and give thanks constantly, fully aware that life isn't as good as it could be? So when we learn to live in God's grace with Jesus, through whom all our living is made pure and perfect, then we can gather to celebrate that feast of thanksgiving for all that God has done for us. Let's pray together. Almighty God, we are so thankful for your goodness, your faithfulness in our lives. Your mercies are new every morning. God, especially on this weekend, remind us again and again of your amazing goodness. And then as we go forward in the days and weeks and months ahead, God, as we go forward in our current situation and our life circumstances, we pray, God, that our hearts may continue to cultivate those things which will shape our lives into thankfulness. So, God, we pray that we may place a priority in our lives on cultivating that relationship with you, the foundational relationship of what Christ has done for us. And let it shape all of our relationships. And may we cultivate joy in our lives, God, mindful that you are our joy and our strength. And may we cultivate, Father, may we cultivate prayer in our lives so that we can be continually connected to you, constantly aware of your presence in our lives. And may we cultivate gratitude, God, to always see your grace in our lives, your favor, your kindness, your love in our lives, no matter what else happens. And so make us strong, Father, in that grace of thankfulness. And so may we live our lives to your honor and to your glory. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So go in the peace of Christ and go with thankfulness in your heart for all that God has done for you. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face of love towards you and give you his peace. Amen.
Thanks, worship team, for reminding us that the heart of God is to bless us, and we're grateful. And that is our desire, is that you be blessed too from God. And what a great message from Pastor Nathan. We hope that you receive from it about shaping your life around Thanksgiving. And tomorrow is Thanksgiving Monday, and we're so excited to welcome you back here from 9 to 11 in the morning. Our Nourish service will be going, and we invite you to come back anytime between 9 and 11, and we trust that too will be a blessing for you. Take care, and God bless.